Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Comment is the big conversation, the great debate, but it can only be either of those if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls. 44208-601-4555. That's the number to call. We'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be down at zero, or I'll have to press swiftly on because no one will understand either of us. You can also SMS the show on 4478-00-00-8066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. You can even send me a tweet at @comment_presstv. Tonight we're asking a very big question. Who benefits from Islamophobia? It's breaking out everywhere. In France, there have been more than 100 Islamophobic attacks since the mass murder by three fanatics, killing Jews in a grocer shop, a kosher grocer shop, just innocent people doing their shopping. Some of them rescued, incidentally, by a Muslim from Mali. Two police officers, cartoonists, journalists, workers, and even visitors to the controversial French magazine Charlie Hebdo. 17 people were killed, and the whole world stopped to look and to pause and to pay tribute. Indeed, much of the world, including many charlatans, flooded to Paris to lead a march of more than a million people through the streets of the great French capital. But very few people have noticed the 100 plus attacks on French Muslims and their properties in the days that have followed. There have been bombs, there have been grenades, there have been petrol bomb attacks, arson attacks, bullets fired, people assaulted. The Muslims in France are going through a very, very tough time. But it's not just in France. A wave of Islamophobia has swept Europe, and it has crossed the English Channel and reached here. We'll be talking in a few minutes to Tell Mama, Fayez Moghul of Tell Mama, which charts anti-Muslim Islamophobic attacks. But before I go to Fayez, let me give you my own view as to who benefits. The first people who benefit are racists. There are some fools who constantly say that hating Muslims cannot be racist because Islam is a religion, not a race. Well, it's true that in Europe and North America there are white Muslims, actually a growing number of them. But the vast majority of Muslims in Europe and in Britain are people of colour. And for the racists who once upon a time just evinced their hatred of all people of colour, a synonym called Muslim, a synonym called Islam has emerged in its place, which allows them to say that they're not racist. They just hate Muslims. They just hate Islam. And these racists, of course, provide a voting base for right-wing parties, particularly in Europe, though with the rise of UKIP here in Britain, we're catching up fast. UKIP have shifted the entire debate around immigration and, by extension, race to the right. They have succeeded in imposing their agenda on so-called mainstream parties and thus have achieved already a very considerable victory before a vote has been cast in the general election. So, right-wing parties, racists, benefit from Islamophobia. Liberals benefit from Islamophobia. These are people, generally speaking, who don't believe in God, who ridicule the idea of God, who simply cannot figure that people can be of faith. And so they want to ridicule and belittle the idea of God and those who believe in God. And Islamophobia helps them. It's the last respectable form of racism. You could not sit around a dinner table in Notting Hill or in Hampstead or in Islington and evince hatred of black people or Jews or Roman Catholics or Asian people. You couldn't do that. But you can, and they do, sit around a table belittling, ridiculing, slandering Islam, slandering Muslims. So they also benefit. Israel benefits from Islamophobia because Netanyahu and people like him place themselves in this narrative that we are you, you are us, and they are the other. And you see what we're up against. You see what happened in Paris. We face that kind of danger every single day. And beyond and above that, the imperial powers who are still interfering, invading, occupying, subverting, and above all, exploiting the Muslim world benefit from this Islamophobic wave that's going on. Because if you pump the air full of fear, loathing, hatred of Islam, which is what the meaning of Islamophobia is, then it's very much easier for you to sell to your public that you have to be invading and occupying and militarily and politically intervening everywhere in the Muslim world, propping up this dictator, bringing down this dictator as they see fit. It's much easier to sell that to your public. It's also much easier to sell to your public that they themselves are in danger, and that when in danger, cling to nanny, cling to nurse for fear of something worse, as the English say. And that's what's happening now. Who will protect you best from these fanatic Muslims? Now, there's much more that I could say, and no doubt will, in the course of this show. But I want to talk first to Fayaz Mughal in London, who charts anti-Muslim Islamophobic attacks and incidents for the excellent organization Tell Mama. Fayaz, can you hear me?
I can indeed.
Thanks very much for coming on the show. Tell us, I've explained what's been happening in France. Tell us what's been happening in Britain.
Well, over the last 9 days, since the Charlie Hebdo incident, 9 days thereafter, we have picked up a very large spike online regarding online hate that is being predominantly promoted by not only far-right groups, but also individuals who are looking to intimidate or incite and really target material towards Muslim individuals using Twitter and Facebook. So there's a very large spike online of anti-Muslim hate, which sadly social media companies are not taking heed of, even though we are pushing hard. And then at a street level, there has been issues around threats and electronic mail and paper-based hate mail being sent to mosques that we picked up. Allied to that, in Birmingham, there were two incidences of one of graffiti saying Islam must die on the Birmingham University campus with a swastika on it, and a mosque in the area also had a swastika that was placed outside of it. And in general, and then also there's a war because with some cases regarding people
Unfortunately, Fayaz, we're losing you. We got some of the picture, and no doubt we'll try to get back to you. But you gave us some of the picture of what's happening in Britain. From what you told me, I infer that it could be worse, might get worse, isn't as bad as it is on the mainland of Europe. But if I've got that wrong, no doubt you'll come back to us. Let's go to the video wall, and I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question, but first, this refers to the leader of the Islamic Revolution addressing the youth in Europe and North America. He wrote a letter, a very, very powerful letter. I wouldn't normally quote at length from a letter in what is a short program, but he's addressing the youth because he doesn't want to overlook their parents, but he thinks that the youth are more open to the argument that he is seeking to make. He doesn't address the politicians and the statesmen because he believes that they have consciously separated the root of politics from the path of righteousness and truth, and who could doubt him in that? He deals with the issue of the negative image of Islam constantly pumped out everywhere in the West. He asks what the Islamophobic agenda is. He explains something of the Islamic faith. If you get the chance to read this, Ayatollah Khamenei, the supreme leader of the Iranian Revolution, his message to the youth in Europe and North America. It's really quite an extraordinary letter. This film, of course, talks about the wave of Islamophobia that's taking place in France, which has got Muslims under siege in many parts of the country. In the UK, Muslims are concerned that the government has hidden causes for the allegations of extremism that they are making. There was a big controversy in the week about Eric Pickles, who looks like he's eaten a biscuit or two, and indeed claimed from the taxpayer tens of thousands of pounds for biscuits over his period as the Minister for Communities. Eric Pickles sent a letter to every mosque in Britain asking what the Muslims were going to do to show that they were British, that they had a right and a reason to be in this country.